All right, good evening, everyone. Once again, we're here with, of course, one of your favorite guests, Antonio, Senator Sonny Trillanes. How are you, Antonio? Any updates? Senator Trillanes.
Yes, good evening, Richard. Thank you for inviting me again.
As always, it's a pleasure to have you. Obviously, hindi naman nagtatampo yung mga followers na sabi na, nako, nasa kabilang mga channels ka last week. Pero sabi ko, don't worry, for sure, may mga updates na naman yan by the time na available ulit si Senator Trillanes. Obviously, of course, people want to see about, want to hear about itong issue ng ICC. Daming pag-usapan, West Philippine Sea. Ito si Senator Bam Aquino also just announced na go na siya for the Senate. But before natin pag-usapan lahat ng mga to, kudeta, DDS, BBM, all of that, eto, kaka-file nyo lang ang cyber libel case against some of the influencers, if I can put it neutrally that way. Can you tell me a bit about the context of this decision and why do you think it was necessary?
Ang context nito is, if you would recall a few or several weeks back, pumutok itong secret agreement ni Duterte, no? And ito sila ngayon as part ng kanilang damage control measures. They started deflecting ulit yung issue na ako daw yung nagbenta ng Scarborough. Eh, ilang beses ko na ang paulit-ulit na sinasabi yan. And they know that it is a lie. At, but tuloy-tuloy pa rin. At this time, we decided to push back na tigil na natin itong mga kalokohan na yan. Once and for all, kasuhan na yan sila. So lahat ng mga nagsabi noon na binenta ko yung Scarborough, sila'y nakasuhan. At yun, every time they will say that again, that's another count of cyber libel. Kumbaga, yung lawyers namin, may template na sila eh. So we'll just keep on filing until tumigil sila, no? This time kasi nung panahon ni Duterte, protektado sila eh. Nobody would walang case na magpo-progress under their watch, no? Nadi-dismiss agad. But ngayon, hopefully we will have a fair shake under this administration.
Very interesting, very interesting. I mean, obviously the issue of cyber libel, medyo sensitive ito, especially sa mga opposition, mga civil society groups. Kasi ang pinakamalaking concern dito is A, yung weaponization of cyber libel, and B, bakit criminalize siya? Some are saying, well, kung ano ka, nag-spread ka ng bad news, fake news, and you're besmirching someone, dapat civil case ito. First of all, what is your take on this debate about whether dapat meron cyber libel? Obviously, it looks like you are on that, but whether this should be criminalized or more a civil case as we have in other democracies?
I'm open to the decriminalizing of libel, but as things stand, talagang ganun eh. Kahit sabihin kong ayoko naman silang makukulong, gusto ko lang magtanda, but the law is the law as it is, no? So hindi ko na hawak yon kung ano yung magiging sentensya nung West later on. Ganun lang talaga, no? At but ano eh, in this case kasi paulit-ulit na eh. Biro mo, for the past 12 years I've been explaining to everyone, every forum, hanggang ano na nga eh, masuya na, memorize na nung mga followers ko ano yung paliwanag ko, but ito pa rin malicious eh. Kasi alam nilang si Duterte was exposed dahil China admitted na sila yung may secret agreement with them. Tapos sila Harry Roque and Duterte himself admitted as much na meron silang agreement na disadvantageous. Yung having an agreement per se is not necessarily bad kung advantageous sa interest natin, na protection ng interest natin. Pero in their case, talagang dehado-dehado, hindi pinapag-repair yung BRP Sierra Madre. Tapos hindi pinigilan yung EEZ patrols ng Air Force and Navy. Ano yon? May ano yon? National security compromise yon.
So in short, you're saying you're working with what's there, even though you would have wished it otherwise. If I'm not mistaken, si Atom Arely, a good friend of mine, nagsampa sila ng kaso against I think Lauren Baduy ba yun or something like that. But I think civil case yung sa kanya strictly. Again, I'm not familiar with the legal nitty-gritties of that, but I understand that there's some people who are sensitive about its weaponization, so they insist on a civil case. But anyway, thank you for clarifying where you stand on the issue of cyber libel, being among the people na sobrang naharas nila Digong in the craziest way back in the day. I think you have proven your credentials on that. Now, balikan natin ng konti ito sa Scarborough Show. Just as a reminder, because I think a lot of people have, hapyaw-hapyaw lang yung understanding nila dito sa nangyari sa Scarborough, and particularly your role in the backdoor negotiations or shuttle diplomacy. Can you refresh the memory of everyone else? Again, alam ko pagod ka na, ako rin in a sense, but we want to be fair just in case para mga ibang tao marinig nila ano talaga nangyari, Senator.
Okay, back in April of 2012, nagkaroon ng impasse dyan sa Scarborough Shoal wherein 80 to 100 ships ng China swarmed Scarborough Shoal both inside and outside the shoal. Ano? Ang barko natin at that time na opposing them or confronting them, tatlong Coast Guard vessels. And at that time, nagkaroon na ng impasse. So the front channel, which is the DFA, hindi na ma-de-escalate yung situation. Nothing was moving forward. Kaya ngayon, nag-pass siya si President Noynoy Aquino na mag-open ang back channel. Again, no? Nagkaroon kasi ng negative connotation pag back channel negotiator, parang it's something evil, something sinister,
shady, dodgy,
shady, yeah, no. So well, so for the information of everyone, yung back channel negotiation is a foreign policy tool ng isang bansa, no, to resolve crisis that cannot be resolved by the formal or front channels, no. Yan yung DFA, yung mga true ambassadors, ganyan. Just to cite an example, yung Cuban Missile Crisis during the 1960s was resolved through back-channel negotiations. So si President John F. Kennedy sent yung kapatid niya, who was the Attorney General, as back-channel negotiator to resolve the Cuban Missile Crisis. So eventually, it was resolved. So hindi po yan illegal, hindi yan kasalanan.
We saw that, sorry to interrupt. I mean, just to make it more timely, just recently yung hidwaan sa Gitnang Silangan, di ba? Yung Israel. Yeah. May back channel nangyari yan because walang direct relationship ang mga bansa na yan. So other intermediaries came in. So this is basically normal in international affairs, especially kung medyo masaklap yung sitwasyon or taas yung tensions, no?
Mm-hmm. So ganoon kasi yon. Kaso, itong Duterte administration, dinemonize yung word na back-channel negotiator. It's as if, ano na kagad, parang traitor na, no? Oh, anyway, ganyan yung background niyan. Hindi yan illegal, hindi yan kasalanan. So si President Aquino, to resolve that crisis, that impasse, designated me as the back-channel negotiator na dalawa ang mission. To de-escalate the crisis and to reduce the number of ships inside and outside the shoal. Okay, we started off with 80 to 100. I got in mga May of 2012. Tapos mga late July, natapos yung negotiation. So, 7 meetings yan. 7 meetings were conducted here. 7 meetings were conducted in China. Ngayon, kahit 100 meetings pa yan, for as long as ito'y ang pinag-uusapan nito, paano maresolbahan yung crisis, ganun yon. Kasi iniintriga nila bakit daw yung sinasabi ni Enrile na 16 trips, ganun. E negotiations nga eh, di ba? Pero hindi 16 trips, 7 meetings here, 7 meetings there. No, okay, so 14 yan. So si, yung time na yon, ganun na nga, no? Crisis yan. Until eventually, the results will speak for themselves, no? From 80 to 100 ships, na-reduce ito to 3. Pero nasa labas na ng shoal. Tapos, Nung hindi nila pinaalis yung tatlong iiwan, doon sila kinasuhan ni President Aquino ng ng case sa arbitral tribunal, which we won, no? At historic yun, na-negate yung kanilang nine dash line na ano na ina-assert nila na basis for their claims dito sa West Philippine Sea. At I look at that as a mistake ng China, because I am sure they didn't want that ruling na ilabas, kasi every time gumagalaw sila, yun yung pinapamukha sa kanila para sila nagiging rogue state. So anyway, ganun yung ginawa natin, no? So my mission was to de-escalate the situation. We were able to do that and to reduce the number of ships. From 80 to 100, we reduced it to 3. So we were able to protect the interest of the state. Tapos wala ring reclamation dyan, no? May mga ano kasi tayo, no, na hindi alam na iba yung Scarborough, which is off the coast of Zambales. Iba rin yung Spratlys na nandoon sa Palawan area. So yung Scarborough dito po sa Zambales area, wala pong base ang China dyan. Wala rin po sila sa loob dyan. And by the way, just recently, si Commodore J. Tariela made a statement na nahihirapan silang, ano, kinoconfront sila ng tatlong ships na yun, but hindi sila, ano, kumbaga nakaka, we still claim it as our own. Kung binenta natin yan, kung binenta ko yan, kami ni Pinoy, dapat meron ng reclamation dyan at dapat hindi sila umalis. Diba? It doesn't make sense kung sasabihin nyo sa inyo yan. Ba't kayo umalis? So, yun. And besides, yung China, all this time, itong mga panahon na to, they never said, amin na yung Scarborough kasi binenta na yan ni Trillanes. O may secret agreement kami ni Pinoy, ganyan. Walang ganon. It was secret agreement with Duterte. Kaya, I think, yan na yan. Once and for all, na-establish na yan at na-vindicate na ako dyan, na-clarify na yan. So, simula noon, nung nag-attempt sila ulit i-revive yon sa akin, we started filing. We started collecting the evidence muna. Tapos ito na, we started filing. So, ngayon, they can try again to say that, but every time merong case na sasalubong sa kanila.
Oh, thank you, Senator, for clarifying it on your side. Ako siguro sa tingin ko, kaya nga dapat sana nag-release ka na ng memoir, or you know what I'm saying, like some sort of book to set the record straight. Kasi yun ang problema, when medyo fuzzy yung canvas, everyone will project their imagination onto it. Kaya nga, pansin natin, a lot of statesmen who have been involved in high-stakes diplomacy, they try to come up immediately with their version bago papasok ang kung ano-ano at weaponization and all of that. Now, so just to be clear, what you're saying is, if your mission were to de-escalate and to avoid a direct confrontation, nakamit mo yan. So you have a mission accomplished in that sense. And by the way, yours was done in coordination with the president. There was transparency. There was accountability. Nothing dodgy. Which is completely different from the gentleman's agreement na hanggang ngayon very suspicious pa rin at mukhang national interest natin na compromise yan. So what you're saying is, in a gaslight ka ng mga DDS na yan because medyo nabuking sila na they were caught with their fingers in the cookie jar.
And alam mo, Richard, kahit na in-explain ko na ito every time to the same people, yan si Harry Roque, in fact, he was in one Senate hearing which I conducted, I think sometime in 2013, just to prove to them, ano, isa siya doon sa mga nagki-claim na yon. Sinabi ko doon, tinanong ko lahat ng security officials in that Senate hearing, and we have the records, we have the video of that. No, did we lose Scarborough Shoal? Kasi sabi ko may mga nagki-claim dito, and Harry Roque was one of them. In-invite ko siya doon para pakinggan niya. All the security officials said, no, we did not lose Scarborough. So, papaano, sabi ko nga, anybody who will say that we lost Scarborough is practically giving Scarborough to the Chinese.
Kasi because the status of which is still unresolved. In a sense na hindi pa siya na-reclaim. Hindi pa siya nilagay ng military facilities.
Not even yung principle of yung terra nullius na it's no man's land or kung sino nag-occupy. Nobody's occupying it. right now. Kasi hindi pwedeng dapaan yan dahil ano yan eh, typhoon sanctuary yan sa ano, sa nasinet ng International Maritime Organization. Nandoon yan sa mga navigators, mariners manual, na if you're along the that area tapos may na-confront kang typhoon, you can seek shelter there. So walang ano bumapasok diyan at pero yung fishermen natin, in my hearing that which I conducted noong 2013, again 1 year after the back channel negotiations, talagang dun sa satellite imagery na pre-present doon, ando doon yung mga Filipino fishing boats. So, 1 year after my back channel negotiations, ando doon yung mga mangisda sa loob, no? Kaya talagang I have all the records going for me. Now, as to yung memoir na sinasabi mo, humingi ako ng, nagpaalam ako niyan kay President Aquino.
Yes.
Sabi ko, i-declassify ko na. Ay, baka pwedeng pa-declassify so that I can clear myself. Hindi pumayag si President Aquino. Sabi niya, anyway, you're explaining the general, kumaga, the general, this is summary nung channel talks. Pero yung details nun, which is not much, ano, eh hindi pwede kasi sabi niya ganun sa international sa diplomacy, no, sa negotiations, hindi pwedeng kung ano yung mga ganun details. But sabi niya, kung magkakandak ng investigation dyan, you can expose that sa ano, sa executive session. O sabi ko, di okay. Pero naggawa ako ng primer. The closest that I can give out, yun ang ginawa ko. Pero ano pa rin eh, it's never enough for these people kasi nga it was intentional. They need to deflect eh, yung blame kay Duterte.
I completely understand, Pedro. Ang point ko lang is you want more people like yours truly on your side on this issue squarely,
yeah,
di ba?
Yeah.
If we know the facts, it's easier for us to point it out as journalists, as academics, as scholars. Kasi ako bilang academic, marami ko nasulat sa mga West Philippines and South China Sea issue. But to be honest, this episode of Scarborough Show until now, until you clarified some of these things, medyo fuzzy pa rin until recently. There's still competing narratives for the lack of better term. Although the facts, obviously, I you know, we more or less know the general facts as president. I can correctly point that. So thank you for clarifying, because even yung aking co-conspirator, si Ronald Leama, sabi niya na may pangako siya kay Pinoy na habang buhay pa si Pinoy, he has to be also a bit careful about some of the discussions. So siguro kaya ngayon, all over the place, ito si Ronald Leamas. So in your case, you also had to keep certain level of confidentiality and also, siguro ethics lang yan, diba? Some sort of understanding with the late former president, God bless his soul, na you don't wanna spill the beans too much. But unless you're forced by circumstances of legal investigation or something along those lines. So thank you. I didn't know that, Senator. The last thing, I mean, I wanna ask on this issue before we transition to the other important issue also is, interestingly, naka-live na rin tayo on TikTok kasi I'm testing kung sinisensor tayo on West Philippines. Nahuli sila ilang beses. May nagsabi na, so sir, ibig sabihin yan, up for grabs pa rin ng Scarborough Shoal, technically speaking?
No. Yung Scarborough, maliwanag yung ating claims dyan. Diniclare niyan, I was the principal author of the Philippine Baselines Law, the first internationally recognized law that asserts the claim of Scarborough. Pinasa na natin yan sa UNCLOS, yung Philippine Baselines. So, dineclare natin na regime of islands. Actually, my version of the Philippine Baselines Law was supposed to include Scarborough sa Philippine Baselines. But during the GMA regime, through the influence of China,
now,
they were able to, natanggalan tayo ng 14,000 square kilometers ng EEZ because of that, no? So, na-compromise sila. But still, regime of islands diniklare natin, ating yan, no? Yun ang punto rito. Pero kasi hindi mo naman lalagyan ng base dyan Diba? Kasi nga, ano yan eh, marine sanctuary yan eh. Ang dami endangered species doon, mga reefs. Tapos, yun nga, typhoon sanctuary din siya na mga mariners. So anyway, yan yung, and by the way, I heard may nagpasa din daw sa inyo a copy of the of my memoir na
Yes,
ano mo ba?
yes, exactly. That's
So,
why you can say I'm more sympathetic now. I mean, you would imagine
oh.
interjecting you more. Alam mo naman style ko, Senator.
Yeah.
I don't want, I want, I want, I want. Kasi sensitive tong issue na to, and I don't want this to
Yeah.
come up as if we're pals. I mean, of course we're friendly, but you know, I want to be fair.
Yeah.
But thanks for sharing me your version. So, medyo ano, it
yeah.
clarified some of the you know, fuzziness, to be honest, around this issue. Kasi iba-iba yung version na narinig ko, not from the DDS side, you know, credible,
Yeah.
You know, good people. Now, yes, please, Senator.
Yeah, ako naman, sabi ko nga, ang bottom line dito is hindi ko binenta yung interest ng bansa. We fought for it. Nilaban namin yan. Kahit na anong upo, ano, just to give you an idea, ito yung nare-reklamo kasi nila. Eh. Pagka daw kaharap nila yung China sa negotiating table, ang pambungad daw, first we have the ano yun, indisputable
inherent
claim
and indisputable sovereignty, yeah.
Oh yeah, over Scarborough ganyan. Up di ginagawa daw ng mga taga DFA pag narinig daw nila na umaalis na sila. Sabi ko eh ako ang ginagawa ko pagkasabi nila noon I will say exactly the same thing. O ako naman sinasabi ko, okay, we also have an indisputable claim over Scarborough, but that's not why we are here. So parehas na nag-claim na kami, pero sige, set that aside, punta tayo, i-de-escalate natin. That's how I negotiated. Hindi yung sasabihan ka lang ng ganito yung claim, aalis ka na, kasi parang na-insulto ka. Hindi, tindigan mo siya ron. Teka, amin din yan. Diba? We have clear historical and legal claim over Scarborough. So hindi ako umaatras doon. Then saka namin pinag-uusapan, alisin mo yung barko mo diyan. Alisin mo yan, ganito, ilipat mo rito. Mga ganun yung ginagawa namin.
But in short, you're saying, Senator, our stance should be say what you have to say and I'll say also what I have to say,
yes.
Then we can talk from there rather than we deny the fact that the other side has mumbo jumbo claims. Let's just accept they're gonna make mumbo jumbo claims anyway, right?
Yeah. Eh, kaya nga sinasabi ko sa DFA noong time na yon, man kayo umaalis. Pagka nagsasalita sila daw ng ganun, na ano na daw sila, na tipong wala na to. So alis. Sabi ko, hindi. Dapat titindigan mo sila. And then after that, doon na tayo mag-discuss kung paano. At bottom line, sabi ko nga, Richard, they left. At the end of the day, they left. Di ba? Kung siga talaga kayo, sa inyo talaga yan, bakit kayo umalis? Di ba? Doon sa Scarborough. O ngayon, bakit di kayo nagtayo ng isla dyan? Sige nga, subukan nyo. Ba? Di ba? Kung sa inyo yan. So, kasi nga,
but Senator, again, to push back against that, again, you know, I just have to be fair on this issue. The argument would be, even under Digong's administration, this is Secretary Lorenzana saying, red line yung Scarborough Shoal. Kung ni-reclaim niya yan, red line yan in the sense that masyado to malapit sa Subic, this is an affront to us, and the United States behind the scenes. I mean, I know everyone goes back to the 2015 conversation between Xi Jinping and Obama where Xi Jinping promised na hindi siya mag-militarize ng mga islands and disputes. So everyone knows that nagsinungaling siya. Except, on the Scarborough Shoal, it looks like maybe mahalaga din ng US also made it clear, we're not gonna accept any American reclamation of Scarborough. What's your understanding of this?
No, the US was never a participant in that negotiation. So, ang kwan dito, kung talagang siga sila at gagawin nila yon at claim nila, bakit sila nasa labas ng shoal? Diba? That's a pretty ano basic question. Bakit kayo nasa labas? Bakit kayo wala doon sa loob? Kasi precisely hindi sa inyo. 'Di ba? 'Yun ang pinakang ano doon, bottom line doon. At 'yun nga yung reclamation, eh kaya nga nilang kung saan-saan sila pumupunta eh. What's stopping them? Hindi, kasi nga alam nila na ano sila doon. Kumbaga malabnaw yung kanilang yung tinindigan doon. At nung time na yon, I can say na talagang we won in that back channel negotiations. Dito, dehado eh. Palugi eh. Iba yon, di ba? Bakit? Kasi nga, maraming kinita si Duterte. Marami siyang ganansya sa China na tipong sige sa inyo na yan, basta dito ay kumita siya ng kumita ng gusto.
Speaking
yun.
Of mumbo jumbo stuff happening under Digong, I mean, I think itong hearing about Mayor Go and then itong mga new exposés about mga fake Chinese hospitals, fake Chinese doctors, mukhang lahat ng mga yan, Duterte legacy ito in one way or another. And itong Mayor Go na yan, parang, I don't know, I'm sure this is complete coincidence. Malapit sa Clark Base yata itong Tarlac seat. I mean, pops out out of nowhere in 2022. Hindi nila mapakita yung birth certificate until 17. Homeschool daw siya, hindi na masabi sinong licensed teacher niya. I mean, ang dami mga gaps in the story. Nothing suspicious here, right? Nothing suspicious here, Senator.
Well, alam mo, pag hindi mo masabi kung saan ka, in fact, meron sa sinasabi mga addresses na talagang fake, no? Iba yung mga tao nakatira, never. So, kumbaga, yung
tapos kaibigan pa ni Senator Gatchalian, yung isa, di ba? Sabi niya, wait lang, kilala ko to, mga kaibigan namin yan. Anong pinagsasabi mo na ganitong address?
And ano, dito makikita na ano to, operative ito. She is a trained operative. Nag-language course lang ito, tapos binigyan siya ng cover story, binigyan siya ng packet na tipong imememorize mo. Pero hindi siya mag-withstand sa scrutiny just like what happened in the Senate. It would be enough to stand siguro yung mga basic conversations. Saan ka lumaki, saan ka ganon. Dito ako, Valenzuela, she can get away with that. Pero yung dito na, sa scrutiny ganyan, nako, hindi umubra yung cover story na binigay sa kanila nung intelligence officers niya. Kaya ito ngayon, na compromise. Tapos you mentioned that, meron pa 'di ba yung mga Coast Guard auxiliary ng mga Chinese nationals?
Well, yeah, I mean, grabe. No?
And hindi coincidence 'yan. It was they really had a heyday nung panahon ni Duterte.
Operation Galore.
Oh, 'di ba pinasok na yung cell sites ng dito telco sa loob ng kampo eh. 'Di ba? Kumbaga talagang inano niya, inopen niya
the floodgate was open.
Oh, the floodgates were opened willingly by Duterte para to accommodate yung China in exchange for what? Ako, I still believe in exchange for personal monetary gain. Yan yan. Okay, kaya compromise
the Pogo angle, the Pogo angle, because okay, so essentially what you're saying is influence operator ito, pero second class kasi medyo sabog yung story. Kasi if you're really a good agent, you're gonna come up with a better explanation for all of these missing documents and stories. But what about the Pogo angle? Do you think na nagkaroon ng cross-pollination ng influence agents and Pogo business, considering officially the Chinese government is against online casinos?
For sure, but I think hindi na kailangan nila ng cover as Pogo ano eh, kasi ano nga eh, ginagawa na ng Coast Guard auxiliary nila Duterte eh. Kumbaga, hindi na nila kailangan magpanggap pa eh. They're out in the open. Even as tourists, they can do whatever they want, no? Maka-establish sila ng bases dito. So pero yun nga, itong sa mayor ng Bamba na to, ano to eh, talagang kinonfine ito siguro 1 year na mag-language course lang, may ano siya, may kausap siya para yung accent mawala, ganun. Tapos binigyan siya ng packet, binigyan siya ng cover story na ordinarily would have passed master, kumbaga. Eh, dito sa COMELEC nga, nakalusot nga siya sa mga botante sa Bamban eh. Oh. Pero sa Senate inquiry kasi, hindi mo alam kung saan ka bibirahin ng angulo. The fact na umattend siya, ibig sabihin confident siya eh doon sa cover story niya until nag-collapse. Ito na ngayon, di ba? Pero it's an eye-opener for us. Ilan pa ba yung ganyan na nakalusot?
Diba? Maybe we have to check a lot of mayors next to all the EDCA bases. I mean, I hate to be paranoid about this, but for all we know, tip of the iceberg lang ito.
Hmm. And I agree. In fact, yung Bamban supposed to be part isang area niyan is one of the targeted EDCA bases eh. Yung Bamban mismo. Kaya nga critical 'yon. Tapos nakita natin yung concentration ng foreign Chinese students doon sa Cagayan.
Yes.
Bakit doon, 'di ba? Pero to be fair, meron talaga mga legit na Chinese students na dito kumukuha ng course kasi nga punuan yung kanilang mga universities doon tsaka mahal, no? For a communist country, for some reason mahal yung pagpadala sa universities nila kaya dito sila nag ano,
much English language and English language. It's like Koreans, ang dami sa amin sa Baguio before. Oh.
Nagkaroon ng Korean wave dito, di ba, noong mga late 90s, early 2000, dito sa Pilipinas, marami yan. So ngayon may mga ganun din na Chinese. But highly suspicious naman yung 5,000. May konting ano doon, parang masyado ng disproportionate doon sa local students. So anyway, yan yon. Maraming ginawa si Duterte na ngayon pa lang natin nandidiscover. Kaya I hope ano, at least marami tayong nabibilitaan na namumulat na lahat. Pero itong absurd ano na to assertion na binenta ko si Scarborough, talagang nag-gain ng traction to, no? Marami talagang naniwala doon. Ngayon, well, enough is enough. Every time somebody says that, expect na nakakasuhan kayo until
Tama na, may ginawang punching bag yung legacy mo. May nag-comment dito sa TikTok. Again, TikTok ang interesting. Of course, interesting lahat. Pero sabi niya, baka ito yung tunay na backdoor. Hindi yung ginawa niyo. Ito yung backdoor na infiltration. Yung ginawa niyo mga... Di ba? Like, this is a suspicious backdoor, not the backdoor in diplomacy, which is usually, you know... I mean, it's just part of the game. Now, Senator, what do you think... naman dun sa issue ng potential infiltration of the military and PNP by the pro Duterte camp. I know again we have had these conversations for a while. So ang tanong is, why did you make this public now? Why do you think it's important na isa publiko mo? Is this your warning shots na don't even think about it? Is that what we're trying to do?
Let's just say na sinasabi ko yung mga hindi kayang sabihin nung mga nasa otoridad kasi pagka kasi sila ay nagsabi may greater ano yun eh kumaga reverberations eh sa whether sa local business sector or international community pag alam pag umamin yung security sector na merong destabilization teka muna hold muna natin investment natin kumaga may mga ganon but syempre for somebody like me I can deliver the message, pero they can still say, si ano lang yan, hindi yan part ng government.
Plausible
pero
yung, deniability.
May plausible deniability. Pero, the same time, yung sa mga gumagalaw, may chilling effect yan. Kasi ako, na-experience namin yan, na nagre-recruit kami. Pag kami, nung panahon ni Gloria, pag kami lumabas na, oy, may destabilization daw, ganito, ang instinct, maglaylo muna tayo. Palamig muna kasi sabihin, minomonitor, yan. Ganun yun.
And your and what do you think na medyo, again, this is a very low level, but bakit mas gumana sa PNP kaysa sa AFP when it comes to potential attempts at destabilization? I mean, this is a destabilization plot, right? I mean, this is what we're looking at, yeah.
Okay, just to be clear, ano to, compared to the population of the officer corps and the rank and file of PNP, ano lang ito, maliit lang ito, konti lang. Pero ito kasing grupo na ito, ito yung Davao group na eh. Ito na yung part ng sindikato na ni Duterte, ito yung mga na-implicate sa drug, sa EJK, sila-sila din eh. Hindi, it's not as if they were able to get new people. Whereas sa AFP, hindi naman ano eh nagkaroon ng Davao group diyan eh. Kasi may pushback eh yung na-professionalize talaga yung promotion system kaya hindi naka ano hindi gaano naka hindi naka penetrate at all to be sure. Pero sa PNP, di ba, yun yung nahuli na ano, ilan yun? 18 yung colonels and generals nahuli sa drugs, ano? Yan yung sindikato, part of the syndicate na tinayo ni Duterte, no? Kinultivate niya yun, yung mafia culture. So ito ngayon yung mga remnants noon. Remnants na lang to kasi by and large sa PNP leadership, wala na sila doon, na-expunge na sila doon.
So what you're saying is this is not a kind of a security service infiltration for coup per se. This is really just underground mafia business coming in together and creating its own alignments there. Yeah.
So loyalty, more personal loyalty kasi they benefited from Duterte. So nagko-call in ang mga favors. So ito yan. Pero na-identify na sila eh. Dalawang general yan. Pero isa kaka-retire lang. Yan yon. Tapos yung isa naka-assign sa Mindanao, minomonitor na siya, no? Yung galaw niya, hindi na makagalaw yan halos. Kaya nga, di ba, compared, kaya tama rin naman yung sinasabi ng PNP, wala namang ganon. Kasi practically negligible yung numbers nila na identify. Tsaka even yung mga rank and file na dyan, hindi naman susunod dyan sa kanila eh. They will not risk their careers, their pensions para kay Duterte, di ba? Wala yun.
So, your contention is overall coup-proof ang security services in that sense?
Yeah, so far. So far.
Yeah.
So far kasi mabilis ito, no? We've witnessed yung EDSA DOS phenomenon. Si President Erap was very popular sa rank and file tsaka sa AFP leadership. Kumpare niya si late Angie Reyes. Kumbaga, he was very secure. Then, nagkaroon ng political crisis. They saw an opening na entice yung AP leadership to join. And in just a matter of days, nag-collapse yung House of Cards. So, we're not ruling that out. Kumbaga, while sa ngayon talagang firmly in place, pero they should not be complacent. Everybody should be on guard always.
Parang pang Netflix series. Yan, speaking of Netflix series, I mean, wait lang. Yeah. Bakit hindi mahuli-huli si Bantag and Kiboloy? And I don't know, what about Tevez? I mean, because I want to ask you about the ICC. Ang point ko is, kung mga ganito lang level, hindi mahuli-huli, what gives you optimism that we can move on the ICC front? So first, bakit hindi mahuli-huli itong mga Kiboloy, Bantag? I think everyone knows na saan naman sila eh. Protektado ba sila ng ano? What's going on?
Okay. Unang-una si Matubato, hindi rin naman nila nahuli. Di ba? Nung Matibato and Las Cañas, nung panahon ni Duterte, talagang pinahanap niya to. Ang daming tracking tips na sinet sa PNP to run after these people. Pero hindi naman nila nahuli. No? So, siguro, we're talking about competence here. Di ba? Capacity. Okay, next. Oh, ngayon dito naman, kina Kimbuloy, kina Bantag, homemade dedicated tracking teams lang, mahuhuli yan. Tapos maglagay ka lang ng reward system. To be fair to the PNP, no, may mga kilala tayong mga magagaling dyan mag-track, pati ISAP, kaya nila yan habulin kung bibigyan talaga ng dedicated tracking teams. It will be costly, pero lalabas yan. Or they can resort to what the Americans did kay Saddam Hussein. Maglagay ka ng exorbitant na reward money. Nako, yung bodyguard niyan mismo ang magmumuso dyan. And they will claim it. Ganon yun.
So you're saying medyo kulang pa ng konti ng incentives. I mean, we're thinking some of these fugitives are used to luxurious life. Tinanong natin si Justice Carpio kasi he's from Davao. Sabi ko, sa tingin mo ba, parang ano ba to eh? Di ba yung mga ibang fugitive nakatago dun sa gitna? And sabi, mukhang ito luxury ang... So, it's not hard to find this. I'm sure may malaki siyang place with people around. So, daming mga vulnerabilities pa.
And yun na nga yung vulnerable point nila. Pero maglagay ka ng reward money, mabalitaan yan. O merong, let's say, 10 million peso reward sa magbibigay ng information that will lead to the arrest nitong mga ito. Nako, isang mag-message dyan. ipaprocess nila, ipifilter nila yung mga prank messages and ano, mahuhuli nila yan. Tsaka itong mga to hindi yan nag-go off the grid. So, even through ano, signal communications, makukuha nila yan.
And Senator, now let's talk about the ICC one. I mean,
yeah.
I know for a while people were saying, ano lang, nagmamarites ka lang, nagmarites tayo in a way because we have been talking about this since last year pa. Mukhang tumama tayo kay Dalima that she'll be freed last year. Tama yan. Yung investigation, papayagan, tama naman. Lalambot yung position ng government. Check ulit. I mean, obviously, they're saying, oh, we may be okay with the warrants of arrest if they come in. So what gives you confidence June and July? I think my understanding is if you look at the timetable of ICC, dapat within the year. I think everyone knows that. Everyone who's following yung procedures ng ICC despite the confidentiality. But why do you think June and July, why that time, why before election? Because the reason I'm asking is, siguro medyo maging iba yung impact kung warrants of arrest come out in October, November rather than June, July, right? Kasi we're looking at also the midterm elections and the impact it will have in terms of election positioning and all. Kasi alam natin, gagawin ng isang kampo, sabi nila mga biktima sila. Sa kabilang kampo, sabi nila, ay mga ano to, mga fugitive to, huwag kayo makipag-alianza sa mga yan, di ba? Questioning pa siguro yung COMELEC ano nila, candidacy nila. So, I'm just looking at the timetable here and interesting itong dynamic na to.
Okay, first of all, we're just dealing with estimates here. We're not in control of the actual release of the warrant of arrest because only the pretrial chamber can decide on that. So, itong Office of the Prosecutor, what they can do is to file the application for warrant. And historically, it's 30 to 60 days after the application of the warrant bago nilalabas yung warrant. So you just have to extrapolate, no? Kaya yun yung ano natin. Hindi naman ano yan, kumbaga estimated to, kung sasabihin kong June, July, tapos biglang lumabas na August, I don't think people will crucify me for missing the target by a month.
I don't think so. I mean, look at yung kabila. Ilang months na sinasabi nila, may pulboronic video sila, go pa rin sila hanggang ngayon. Sige lang, nagpahiring pa, nagmarisatoriano.
Pero, ang point nito, kung eventually lalabas, pwede mo silang sabihin, oh, meron sila, pero wala eh. Di ba? Eh, ito, if I say, ang estimate nung mga nakakausap natin is June or July, actually nga, nag-move na yan eh, from late May eh. Sabi ko, ano ba ito? Parang paurong na ng paurong. Anyway, hindi rin naman nila kontrolado. They're just getting information. Sinabi natin June or July, pero lumabas ng August, palagay ko patatawarin pa rin tayo ng ano, na hindi marites yung
walang
ano,
refund. Walang refund
doon
sa...
walang refund doon. But remember, Richard, sabi ko nga, tinatanong, bakit daw ako pinapakinggan, ilereban? Sabi ko, precisely, the media will only talk to you kung hindi ka pa sunog, kung hindi mo pa sila sinusunog, di ba? And every time naman, I'm giving them good information, di ba? Hindi tayo parang natutulog ka lang sa ano, bahay, pag-gising mo, sige nga, sabihin ko nga ito. No, we do due diligence, di ba? Na meron tayong process ng pag-collect ng information, meron din tayong process na pag-validate ng information. So we don't just, once we get information, we get it out. No, we validate information. Kung A1 yan, di yun na yun. Meaning, the source, historically, based on experience, nagbibigay siya ng reliable information. Tapos the information itself is believable. Diba? Most likely true. So ganun yung intelligence classification.
Basta hindi galing ito kay Agent Morales. No? It's like, hey! Grabe yung back and forth nila ni Chinggoy. Ah. Baka ako hindi convicted. Grabe doon. Talagang sabi ko.
No.
I mean, Is this the worst Senate? Tertullianos, I mean, this is crazy what's happening. It's convicted.
Pero ang pinakang ano kasi dito is yung hearing itself. Why was there a hearing to begin with? Na sinasabi ko nga, motu proprio, may parang national emergency. Meron kang ano, crisis situation na kailangan i-hear mo na kasi yung regular process might take time at baka magkakaroon ng mabigat na damage sa lipunan. Wala naman eh. Bakit hindi dinaan ni Bato sa regular ano to? Regular process. Mag-vet ka yung vet mo yung witness mo, i-check mo yung documents mo, tignan mo ano ba to, saan ba to hahantong. Then you file the resolution. Then once you file the resolution, you respect the decision of the Senate leadership kung saan dadaling yan. It doesn't have to be your committee. Ito, presidente yung involved. Pwedeng pag-aralan muna ng rules committee yan. Teka muna, ano ba ito? We need to make sure because we're putting the president here on the spot na unduly kasi ang allegation mo na gumagamit siya ng cocaine 12 years ago. Ano, kailan ba yung cut-off natin? Di ba? Si Duterte, umamin siya na fentanyl addict siya. Paano ba yun? Di ba?
As we speak, si Maharlika meron siyang drug test challenge vlog live ngayon. I mean, these guys, they just keep on coming up with a new... But what do you think about the BBM, ito sa Jensen, next to Manny Pacquiao, siguro? Biglang sumasagot na, di ba? Kasi yun ang concern ko sa kanya, yung sinasabing kuting siya, hindi siya tigre. At isa niya, ito, ano, professional liar yan, eh. Jukebox yan, eh. Bibigyan mo ng kahit ano, kakantay niya. Don't you think we need to see more of that from BBM? He has to show also he's the man. I mean, it cannot be everyone else, including his wife, coming in. And he has to fight for himself. He has to show he's the man.
I agree. And I think itong hearing ni Bato, that was the red line. Parang sobra na yan. Hindi pwede yan. It was an affront kay Bato kasi committee chairman ka, senador ka, pinalusot mo yung re-relate ko eh, no? In one of my interviews. Sabi ko, kung maalala nyo tong karakter na yung Bicoy, no? Yung Bicoy, alam nyo,
yes, yes, naalala.
Pre-present sa amin yan. Ilang vetting yon, ilang interrogation ginawa ko dyan, hindi siya makapasa-pasa eh. Kaya nga hindi ko nilabas sa Senado yan. Hindi ko nilabas. Kasi may problema. Sinabit ko yung mga dokumento, sinabit niya, sige, i-check nyo yan. Di ba? Pero yung mga nakuha ko naman na iba yung sa bank accounts ni Duterte that showed na kurakot si Duterte, ba, na-validate yun. Na-validate ng ombudsman. Kaso, wina-whitewash nila nung time na yun. Kumaga, there should be, ano, at least some spade work sa validation of vetting. Hindi pwedeng marinig mo dito kay Maharlika, hearing mo kagad. Paano yan? Di ba? When will you stop? Kaya nga, which leads me to conclude na accurate yung communications plan na nakuha namin dito sa ouster plot, ano? Hindi lang destabilization, kung hindi ouster na. Na part itong committee hearing ni Bato, siya yung mag-agitate, supposed to be ang plano nila, palabasin
sa, ano, sa June.
Palabasin na cocaine user si ano, and that is supposed to lead to an outrage of the general public, which would lead to the AFP leadership withdrawing support. Ganon yung simpleng ano nila framework eh. Eh, yung problema, hindi nag-traction eh.
Well, exactly.
Kasi hilaw eh. Oo. Ang problema ni Morales, nung tinanong siya, sino ba yung confidential agent mo? Hindi raw niya maalala. May problema tayo doon. Yun na yun. Lagapak na yun.
Right. Speaking of this, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you think the administration will work on it, will implement it, or will weaponize it as a kind of a Democles sword should the warrants of arrest come in the coming months? Again, I don't want to put you on the spot, but the point is, what is your prognostication here? What factors will lead Marcos to act upon the warrants of arrest and hindi yung it's just there and nakalutang lang and then he will, you know, dribble around it?
So, ako, ang tingin ko nga, he doesn't even need to decide or act eh. Kasi kung padadaanin ito sa Interpol, may international agreement in place na eh. Pagka lumabas siya na sa National Central Bureau sa PNP, yung pangalan ni Duterte na arrestuhin, they are supposed to act motu proprio. Hindi na kailangan didiktahan sila ni BBM na huliin yan. Di ba? Hindi na. Kasi they're supposed to do these things. Ministerial yon. Ngayon, kung naman magpa-file ng petition for TRO yung mga lawyers ni Duterte, which I am inclined to assume that they will do, di ba ho-hold ngayon, hindi gagalaw yung PNP, not on the say-so of President Marcos, but on the say-so of the Supreme Court. So it's not on him. O ngayon, pag sinabi naman nung Korte Suprema at then ng kanilang deliberations na meron silang basis, may jurisdiction, yung Interpol, hindi ito yung ICC kasi yung Interpol ang mag-aano sa atin eh. O di, pagka-clear yung way, edi Supreme Court din na nagsabi.
So don't just stand in the way. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to lift your finger. Just don't use your finger to block it. Parang ganun yung sinasabi.
Yes.
And just to begin, the Supreme Court, sinabi niya may residual jurisdiction. Even if lumabas tayo from ICC, applicable pa rin yung jurisdiction nila. Kaya hindi ko maintindihan yung sinasabi ni BBM na walang jurisdiction ng ICC. Sarili natin, Supreme Court, unanimous on this issue. So you're saying the elements are aligning. Okay. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I think ang sinasabi niya, walang jurisdiction ngayon sa term niya. Which is accurate, pero maliwanag Supreme Court.
I see what you're saying. Okay, I see what you're saying.
So it's a play of context eh. 'Di ba? O pero ang kwan niya dito, even if nag-decide ng Supreme Court, magfa-file pa rin yan sila ng petition for TRO because they need to stop the PNP arresting teams from enforcing the warrant. 'Di ba? O stop nila 'yon. Pagka after ng deliberation, sabi na wala, talagang may basis eh. O sige, ililift na yung TRO. Meron ng decision Korte Suprema that the PNP can arrest Duterte. Plus, meron tayong ang batas, no, yung Republic Act 9851. Ito yung law that defined the crimes against humanity, genocide, etc. At nakalagay dun sa jurisdiction mismo. Section 17, they can Google this. Nakalagay doon, the Philippine authorities may surrender a person who is accused of crimes against humanity by an international criminal court. Eh, kumbaga, you cannot be more specific than that. Pwede natin i-turn over. Nakalagay doon, ha? Sa batas yun. The 2009 law ito, which was never declared unconstitutional. So, yun na yun. They can use that as a basis actually. And I believe it's part of the legal brief that DOJ has submitted to the president.
Senator Trenas, we're going to the last part of this episode. I want to talk a little bit about opposition. But just before that, isingit ko lang to. Obviously, Bato could be facing a warrant of arrest. So obviously, he has an interest in this whole Pulboron test hearing, right? I mean, let's just say it for what it is, right?
May ano talaga, meron silang interest in this case, survival mode sila. They have to do this and they hope na ano ito mag-work, no, para maupo si Sara, ano sila, protected sila for life, di ba? But palagay ko ano na eh, may divine providence
aligning. So you think itong mga people power hanash nila, I mean just Harry Roque, right? Like one day against Jong, then the spokesman, then SM&I debate, wala akong nahanap na ano kaso sa Marcos, ngayon Marcos resign, and then like people power after 6 years nila babastusin ng ETSA, Aquinos, all of that, So you think ano lang yan, desperate ano lang yan, mga hanas lang nila yan.
Palagi ko wala na silang way. And besides, ang balita namin may pondong doon pumapasok, so they need to clear it eh. Kailangan nila magparali para clear nila eh. Di ba? So somebody's earning money there. Sabihin niya, 20,000 yung minobilize namin and we spent this much. Pero ang lumabas lang pala, 3,000, 4,000. So, yun na yan.
Inakaltas. Kinukupit pala. Yung ano, yung ano.
So, ganun yun. And palagay ko part na rin yung mga rallies na yan. Multi-purpose yan eh. Andiyan dyan na yan sa distab, test run ng mobilization, pero na rin ano, pre-campaign ano yan, operations, di ba?
Ang painit ng ano, get the ball rolling.
Papakilala sila, ganun. But ano yan, ang problema nila is talagang people are not flocking to the rallies anymore.
Para siya ganyan, like, sige lang, tapon lang, baka may dumikit, di ba? Ganun na lang nangyari, di ba? Parang, let's go for ano.
Parang ang yung EDSA 12. Kaya nga sabi ko, you cannot be complacent kasi nakatisod eh. Kung baga,
hila, makalusot. You're right. Oh, walang room for complacency. Now, speaking of no room for complacency, eto na, so we have officially a member of the Aquino family throwing his hat into the ring. Of course, we're talking about Senator Bam Aquino. Nagkaabutan kayo, di ba, sa Senado. Mm. What is your understanding of the state of the real opposition? Kasi the Duterte camp is not real opposition. May tinatawag na naging opposition dahil hindi nagkaroon ng position, right? Pag-usapan natin yung totoong opposition, right? What is your understanding of what is the state of play? Aside from galit sila sa atin dalawa at saka ni Ronald dahil ang dami daw natin, Anash. Aside from that, anong kita mo?
Yeah, hindi naman ano, hindi naman sila magagalit sa atin. They cannot afford to lose our support, 'di ba? Hindi. Ganito. Ang palagi ko kasi ang dilema nila is paano sila papasok, 'di ba? Dito paano sila eksena dito. Pero yan sila Senator Bam, meron niyang sariling ano eh, network na na-establish when he was still a senator. Si Senator Kiko, meron din silang brand of campaigning. Mas extensive din yung local network niyan. So they will work quietly. Kasi kahit pa paano, alam na nila pa paano manalo na eleksyon. No? Etong si Attorney Chaljok, no? Siyempre, he feels he's inching closer to that victory.
Well,
but I think it's a challenge, you know, for the independent opposition kasi ang mag-aagawan na eksena rito would be the Marcos administration and the Duterte. So you'll try to squeeze in there. Eh, yung pinakang beef naman ni Secretary Llamas sa kanila is 'di ba? Bakit why the silence, 'di ba? Ano ba 'yan? Is there a winning formula there na that has yet to be discovered, 'di ba? Kung magaganon 'yon. It's more on that. But hindi 'yan knowing sila Senator Bam, sila Senator Kiko, tatrabaho yan sila under the radar.
They're doing their homework.
They're doing their homework.
See later on. What kind of noise should they make? I mean it in a positive way. First thing, meron na silang radio show, di ba? Kung saan pinag-usapan nila yung mga pangangailangan ng bayan. Ito si Pangilinan, Jokno, and Bam Aquino. So, there's some move there. Bam Aquino has been doing a lot of interesting travel vlogs, yung mga ganun type since last year. So, medyo is working on the social media front. What else do you need? I mean, the reason I'm saying this is the president, as we speak, is moving in the direction of what we were discussing a few months ago, itong grand coalition na sinasabi ko. Obviously, ang what stands out is hindi kasamang hukbong ni Sara dun sa binubuong grand coalition ni Marcos. So that tells you a lot. But the big question right now is, will the Liberal Party or some sections of the Liberal opposition have some sort of informal, if not formal, coalition with BBM? Or that's like a kiss of death for both sides? Or at least for one side more than the other.
I think they would be restrained by the purists, no, within the pink and the yellow ranks. May mga purists dyan na talagang very outspoken.
Never Marcos. Never Marcos.
Never Marcos people. Ngayon, yun ngayon ang mag-ano sa kanila kasi they will continue to accommodate them. But the general ano, voting public at large is much larger than that constituency. Pwede naman makausap yan eh. Pero ultimately, they will have to choose kung they will continue to be restrained and straitjacketed by this sector or they really want to win. Diba? Yun lang naman yun. If you're running to win or you're running to accommodate this particular sector. So they will, it's a dilemma
yeah,
for them.
Right.
Yeah? But I'm glad that I don't have that dilemma anymore.
We'll talk about that very shortly as we wrap up this episode na slightly longer than usual. But I just want to say, I want to ask you, sa iyong palagay, ito sa era of the rise of Tulfos, era where Marcoses and Dutertes are the main actors, what is the messaging ideological space for a true progressive opposition? Kasi parang gusto ng tao, siga. Gusto ng tao yung mukhang decisive. Obviously mukha kasi maraming performative dyan na pakute lang. Anong nangyari sa 20 pesos ng bigas? Anyway, I mean, realistically, what should be the positioning? Kasi even if sasabihin natin 2025, masyadong ipit, masyadong maipit, the game plan should be 2028, right? So as early as now, you have to lay down the foundation. Hindi yung mga last minute na naman na biglang tatakbo yung iba.
Well, I think doon muna sa basic, no? Kasi yung messaging, ano na yan, yan yung next level. I think ang problema muna nung let's say some of the opposition candidates particularly sila Attorney Jokno and even Senator Bam, kailangan muna ulit ma-reintroduce sila sa lahat ng sulok ng Pilipinas kasi ganun eh, if they don't know you, how can they trust you? If they can trust you, how can they vote for you? So they have to know you first. Iba na yung terrain eh. There is a significant chunk of the voting population na hindi nila alam at all about the existence of the pink. Hindi nila alam sino to, sino si Bam, sino si Trillanes. Sino...
Wala na sa radar nila. Oh.
Wala na. Kasi wala na doon sa algorithm nila. Hindi pumapasok sa mundo talaga nila. Kaya yun ang challenge. Kaso na masyado nang nabasag yung communication channels dati. TV Patrol lang, ma-feature ka na. At least 50% of the population. Doon ka na. Di, yun na lang. Pero ngayon, una wala na eh. TV viewing public na masyado nang
disintegrated na.
And paano ngayon yan? So that's the challenge. Pero they need to get their names and faces out there first before coming out with the yung kung anumang message nila. Kasi yung message nila, hindi ko rin nga alam. Sabi ko nga, what are they fighting for? Diba? What do they stand for? Yun ang problema.
Of course, just to wrap it up, obviously, it looks like LGU is the direction of the wind for you. And my sense is even Lenny may be thinking about running as mayor or something like that. Is an LGU-level progressive opposition the future? And may bagong party ka daw, katipunan ng nagkakaisang Pilipino, KNP. Is the LGU-level, like may good mayors working together, is this the future if ever that's the direction for you?
Well, that KNP is the party of Senator Bam and Attorney Chel Jokno, KNP. So, palagay ko incidental lang ito that some of us are running sa local level. But, ano kasi, we're talking about 1,500 cities and municipalities. Hindi talaga siya, ano. And once, assuming you win sa local executive, ano siya, it's a full-time job. Talagang the problems would overwhelm you.
Stare you in the face, you. Yeah.
Oh, would consume you na tipong ito na yun eh. Mabibitawan mo yung anything strategic. So, yun. But I think yun ang kailangan, especially for yun, yung Caloocan. Siya yung pinakamaraming mahirap sa buong Pilipinas.
Pero yung EJK cases, ang dami rin. Di ba? Nung
Oo,
time
sa Caloocan. Siya yung number one. No? Kaya napag-iwanan na talaga siya. Iyon.
And lastly, on a personal level, do you think an executive elected position will also make you a better leader and person for that matter? I mean, having already served in the Navy, having served in the Senate, is this also a new layer of leadership you're trying to explore and nurture in yourself?
I believe so, and I think this is going back to my roots, ano, at ito yung this is the basically the leadership training that I got sa PMA, the educational background na kinuha natin sa iba't ibang graduate schools. Kumbaga, ito yon, this is it. More than being a legislator, I think this is it, no? We're more tailor fitted for this kind of work than even as a legislator, because doon talagang fish out of the water ako eh. As a legislator, we did our best. We tried to accomplish the missions as a legislator, but ito mukhang sa executive level, executive branch, mukhang ito yung ano natin, linya.
On that note, thank you very much, Senator Chilianes. I want to talk to you a lot about a lot of issues, including itong TikTok ko, biglang nag-overheat yung phone ko. Nothing suspicious here, right? Pinag-usapan lang naman natin ang China and West Philippines. Never sa any of my life nag-overheat biglang yung phone ko. So this is really weird. I'm sure it's just coincidental. But I hope, even if maging mayor, Sonny Trillanes ka, still talk to us, big picture, di ba? Medyo, no, but New York. Sana, Senator, ha? Hindi ka mawala sa national. Alam ko yan, marami tayong mga kaibigan ng mayors, talaga sobrang busy sila. Eh. Like, oh my God, like every day, yung mga issue ng pipeline, eh, mga pipes, mga drainage, ganun-ganun. But we hope we can still pick your mind. But long way until then. So hopefully we can catch up before election start.
Yeah. Matagal pa. Marami pang updates yan. And then the next few months, talagang medyo, ano yan, interesting.
Yeah.
Living in very interesting times. Kanga.
Yun nga. Hopefully this time it works in the other way. Kasi the interesting time last time was pro-China. Medyo Mao Zedong sa interesting times. Salamat, Sonny Trillanes. Grazie, Antonio. Thank you very much. Let's continue this conversation. God bless po.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard.
Salamat po. As always.